Good afternoon. It is 19 minutes after 5 o'clock, and we're going to begin this newscast with the developing story. Sitkin's experienced a drop-off in water pressure this afternoon after a major break in a major line that supplies town. City Environmental Superintendent Mark Buggins says the break happened in the 700 block of Sawmill Creek Road. Police did not close the road, but traffic is slow in the area. Drivers are asked to stay clear for the time being, if possible. The area where this water main break occurred is just past Jeff Davis Street as you head out of town along Sawmill Creek Road. Sitkins will likely notice lower water pressure tonight, especially those living at higher elevations. The city says water to all of town will be limited, and they're asking residents to slow down on their water use and only do what's necessary tonight. Buggins told us shortly after 4 p.m. that crews are going to keep working on the situation. They're trying to get the damage fixed tonight, but Buggins said that it was still a little too early to tell how long those repairs would take. The water main break occurred around 3:30 this afternoon, and there were some immediate side effects. The drop in water pressure in the sprinkler system at City Hall ended up setting off the fire alarms and causing the evacuation of the building. That happened around 4 p.m. And we also received word from Sitka High School that because of the low water pressure, tonight's volleyball games, both JV and varsity, have been moved to Mount Edgecombe High School. As I'm sure you're aware, it's a Friday afternoon, and we don't have any more newscasts scheduled between now and Monday morning, but we will continue to update our website and our Facebook page as the city passes along more information about the situation out there with the water main break along Sawmill Creek Road. We do have an update online right now if you want to take a look at that if you're just tuning in. The two candidates for Sitka's school board this year agree on much, but also have one key difference, how they view the role of superintendent. Incumbent Lon Garrison and challenger Stephen Courtright answered questions for about an hour at the Sitka Chamber of Commerce this week in the first candidate forum of the municipal election season. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Courtright, a music teacher at Mount Edgecombe, said the district superintendent should leave education to the educators.
The superintendent should not be the person who is the educational leader, should not be the disciplinary leader, should not be the one doing the nitty-gritty of human resources issues. There are people whose job it is to do all of those things. But the superintendent is the one who sets the tone from the top down, is the public face of the entire district, and needs to be absolutely unimpeachable as such.
Courtright stressed that his emphasis on tone was not a personal reflection on current Superintendent Steve Bradshaw, who is still dealing with the repercussions of last year's crisis when his middle school principal was indicted for sexual assault. The two candidates did not dispute each other much during the chamber forum, but incumbent school board president Lon Garrison disagreed on this point. Does the superintendent lead on education or leave that responsibility to the principals?
I think they are going to be the educational leader. They are going to be the ones setting the tone, there's no doubt about it. There are going to be others that are going to be working for them to help implement that leadership. But it is the superintendent who takes on that responsibility of conveying what the school board has come up with in policy, in vision, to the rest of the district and make sure that it's implemented that way.
In most other respects, challenger and incumbent were fairly well aligned. The importance of early childhood education, closing the achievement gap for low-income students, and the need to educate the whole child through extracurricular programs beyond the three R's. Once in a while, the candidates would reveal a subtle difference in perspective. An audience member asked if the Sitka School District adequately prepared students to enter the workforce. Lon Garrison.
I would say for most students, yes. We are effective in educating our students to enter the workforce, to go to college, or continue with additional career and technical education. But I would say there's still a considerable percentage of students that don't get there.
Stephen Courtright.
My big takeaway from this question is that preparing workers is not the point of schools. The point of schools is to prepare citizens and to prepare thinkers. If we teach them to think, and we teach them to be able to ask the right questions, anybody can teach them how to do a job.
This type of educator's perspective is what Courtright said Sitka's current board lacks. He said he felt that this race was not about removing anyone from the board, but about adding something that's missing.
It looks different when you're there every day. The students do things differently, the teachers do things differently, and I truly believe that that's a perspective that cannot be gotten by just walking through every now and again
Courtwright has been a teacher for 9 years. Garrison has been on the Sitka School Board for 6 of those years. He now runs the hatchery program at the Sitka Sound Science Center. Garrison stressed his history as an advocate for education at the state and federal levels.
I've developed a passion for public education and being a good school board member, and have spent the time and effort it takes to try to continually improve, and I continue to do that, to bring new ideas to the table and to champion Sitka's values to both the outside and others outside our state and community.
Garrison and Courtwright are running for 1 seat on Sitka's 5-member school board. It is a 3-year term. The municipal election is Tuesday, October 1st. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
And you can hear this week's Chamber School Board candidate forum in its entirety on our website, kcaw.org. Raven News will have detailed profiles of all the municipal candidates during local news beginning next week. You can ask the candidates your questions during our on-air forums, 6:30 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday, September 25th and 26th. We have an update now to the water main break situation. We just heard from the fire hall that Sawmill Creek Road is closed between Baranoff and Jeff Davis Streets. And actually, we were reporting that based on the block that this occurred in, that the water main break was on the other side of Jeff Davis Street. But it looks like the road closure is on the in-town side of Jeff Davis Street, all the way back to Baranoff Street. So if you're in that area, Sawmill Creek Road, once again, between Baranoff and Jeff Davis, closed while city crews work on a water main break along Sawmill Creek Road. Back to the news now. Less than 1% of Alaska's exports in 2012 ended up in the Philippines, but according to that country's first honorary consul to Alaska, new connections are being forged that could help build a market for Alaska seafood and even liquefied natural gas. KTOO's Jeremy Shea has that story.
If Alaska wants to make inroads in trade with the Philippines, the state has a lot of work to do. Here's the Philippines' recently appointed honorary consul to Alaska, Jenny Gomez Strickler.
When you say Alaska to folks in the Philippines, they don't think of the state, they think of milk. Apparently, Alaska is a brand of milk in the Philippines.
And if it's not milk,
it's a basketball. The basketball team that's sponsored by the milk company that's apparently very popular.
The Juneau resident and retired Alaska Department of Commerce and Economic Development worker was speaking to the Juneau World Affairs Council on Wednesday. In her new honorary role for the government of the Philippines, she's part bureaucrat and part international trade facilitator. She's trying to make the case that Alaska should mean seafood in the Philippines.
The Philippines is a fish-eating country, yet its fish is imported from other countries, and its imported salmon is farmed salmon.
Strickler, Juneau Representative Kathy Munoz, and the governor's office are trying to put together a seafood festival in Manila next year to show the country what Alaska has to offer. Strickler shared an anecdote about a missed connection that networking at the festival might fix. A former Juneau resident brought some Alaska seafood to Manila for his friends to try. One of the samplers happened to be a hotel owner.
The business owner enjoyed it so much, he said, "If I get this from you, can you guarantee me X amount throughout the year or portion of the year?" He looked him straight in the eye and said, "I can't because I'm not a fisherman."
She said they're working on a pitch to get support from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. Strickler also said she was on a recent conference call between Philippine Ambassador Jose Quisha Jr. and state officials. The ambassador said he's putting together a team to visit Alaska and investigate opportunities to import liquefied natural gas. Finally, Strickler said Aklan State University in the Philippines is interested in sending instructors to the University of Alaska Southeast through an exchange program. They want to learn about saltwater fisheries. Strickler said she expects that arrangement to come together after the Juneau Assembly adopts a sister city proclamation linking Juneau and Calibo, the capital city of the Philippine province Aklan. A Juneau Assembly committee backed the proclamation on Monday. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
Winter is on its way, and in Alaska, that means turning up the heat and the heating bills. That gets pricey, especially in homes that rely on oil for heat. The Alaska Community Development Corporation, or CDC, has a weatherization program to help lower some of those bills. A representative from the Community Development Corporation will be in Southeast this week in Wrangell. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver has more.
Weatherizing a home basically means making it less likely to be affected by the weather. Kurt Christensen is the housing manager for the Alaska Community Development Corporation, or CDC. He says this is the kind of assistance that would be beneficial to anyone.
The intent of the program is to fix homes so they use less energy.
And that translates into lower heating bills in the winter. Christensen says each structure is evaluated individually. That way, the repairs and upgrades are specific to each home. And he says the program covers the weatherization process from start to finish.
So we come down and we run tests on the home, and then using a computer modeling program that the state has provided us with, we come up with the items, you know, the most effective items to do in that home. And then we have contractors already on retainer that come and do the work, and then we send an inspector in. So it's all covered by the State of Alaska program.
He says that homes in different parts of the state require different kinds of upgrades, but there are some common repairs.
The main things we see are insulation in the attics. A lot in our southeast areas, we have upgraded the insulation in the floors. And then we do a complete test of the heating systems and very often can exchange those out into a more high-efficient system. Some of that depends on what type of fuel you use for heat in your area.
For example, the CDC might install a newer, more efficient wood stove to replace an old one that isn't really doing its job anymore. He says the repairs are also done for safety, especially with the wood-burning stoves. When a home is weatherized, there are some extra upgrades to help it compensate for being more efficient.
As we make a house, you know, lose less air, we need to bring in some fresh air for the occupants. So we do some fans and possible rain hood things to keep from getting carbon monoxide, you know, stagnant in the home.
And he says the process shouldn't inconvenience the residents.
We've operated for close to 30 years now, and never had a family had to move out of the home during the repairs.
He encourages anyone who is interested to contact a representative and fill out an application. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.